And here we go. Welcome in to another edition of Bucky and BK. Today is Monday, June 1st, 2026. And the Buck and I are with you all for the next 2 hours. On today's show, the San Antonio Spurs are back in the NBA Finals. Texas baseball is back in the Super Regionals. We've got some Texas softball to get into, some Texas rowing to talk about, some Major League Baseball to discuss, a little Longhorn football conversation as well, plus great conversations with Evan Veith and Greg Swindell. Of course, the BBK news and why today's not so bad. It is a jam-packed Monday program. We hope all of you had a great weekend, and we appreciate all of you people for starting your weeks off with us. How are you today, my man?
I am fabulous. What a fabulous day again. Great weekend, nice and warm, of course. Nice and hot, not just warm, but hot over the weekend. Lots of sun out there. The same, looks like it could be the same, but with some rain showers in the forecast starting tomorrow with a 40% chance of rain. Then the percentages go up as the week goes on, but still the temperatures seem to be pretty high, and it was nice Saturday. It really, really was. I know I talked to you before. You spent a lot of time in the sun, and hopefully a lot of folks got a lot of things done, you know, that first week of school being out. Kids, get them in the sun. Now get them to their jobs and let them go to work. You had off a weekend. Let's go to work, kids.
Yeah.
Or to camp. Or to camp, yes. The word around I talk to my daughters is, hey, if you ain't going to camp, don't tell me how bored you are around the house. You know, you had opportunities. There's camps that mom and dad tried to get you to go to, and you said no. But then don't spend the next couple months on how bored you are, you know?
You got parents telling kids, hey, I don't care where you go, just don't stay here.
Yes, just get out of my house. Go to your friend's house. Stay over there for half a day. Come over here for a sandwich at lunch. I'll send you right back over there again. Yeah. It is that second week. A lot of different little camps start. You'll start baseball camps and everything else. Football camps will start in another week or so. So just get away from me.
Yeah, don't you have somewhere to be for 8 hours every day? What are you doing here?
My goodness. I can't even imagine now. And kids live on the computer. Can you imagine us coming in the house? You, as your parent, you're going. If you went to work in the morning and you come back and there's your kids still on the computer, you know, when you get back from work, it's like, oh my God, did you leave this house all day long? No, I never went out. I had stuff to do. I had work to do on my computer.
I'm trying to become an influencer, Mom. Let me go.
Yes.
My esports game. Dad, stop bothering me.
I'm trying to be a millionaire. Leave me alone. I got to stay on this computer. Got to use up your electricity. Good day to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you for what you do. We appreciate everything you do for all of us. To you and your families, do be safe out there, please.
Yes, indeed. Well said, as always. Well, anytime a Texas Longhorns program wins a national championship, I think they've earned the right to get our first discussion of the show. Congrats are in order to the Texas rowing team. The tower was lit yesterday after the Longhorns took home their fourth national championship in the last 6 years. Yesterday morning, congrats to head coach Dave O'Neill, a.k.a. Captain Dave, and the Texas women. The Longhorns getting it done, winning the team championship by 5 points over Stanford. Again, fourth national title in the last 6 years. It's the fourth title in program history, which is now tied for third amongst rowing programs all over the country.
How about that?
Man, I mean, this has become like men's swimming and diving. Those are the two most consistent sports teams that we have on campus. It's men's swimming and diving. It's women's rowing. Funny enough, those are the two sports that have won national championships so far in this 25-26 academic year for the University of Texas. But congrats to Captain Dave and the Texas women on taking home another natty, Buck. Pretty cool.
Yeah, that Pirates got it going on. I'll tell you what. That team is special, you know. Town Lake must be something if that's where they practice at, because that's got some national championship waters for sure.
Well, it's pretty cool. four of them in the last 6 years. I mean, that's a dynasty.
Man.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I used to train with the Texas rowing team. Pardon me.
Down on 6th Street?
No, not down on 6th Street. I don't know how much time they're spending there if they're winning all these national championships. Now, back in the day, at the start of this dynasty, perhaps it's a coincidence, perhaps it's not, I used to train multiple times a week with Captain Dave and the Texas rowing team. So I wonder, I'm going to get a ring at some point out of this? Oh.
Yeah, you're going to get a ring, all right.
Well, here's my case. You know, everybody picked up a random hobby or two or 10 during the pandemic, right?
Yes.
And mine was kayaking. I got into rowing, and I would go 3 or 4 times a week out to Town Lake in the mornings to hit the waters.
You're out there sculling? Oh, yeah, you were sculling, all right.
You know who I would see out there practicing? Texas rowing team. We were out there together at the same time on the water. Yep. They would yell, row, and I would row faster. Sometimes I would yell at them. They would probably not listen to me, but we were both out there together. And I just feel like probably not a coincidence that this dynastic run started when I was.
Well, the difference between them and you is they had, you know, when they were out there, they had their paddles. You're out there with your Zebco rod inside your little rowing kit with your lunch pail and your thermos and your tackle box. Now, that's not rowing. Going out there with your tackle box fishing for carp and catfish is not rowing.
No, I wasn't fishing at this time. I've done a lot of kayak fishing in my day, but this was out in Town Lake by myself, just with my own oar, a.k.a. paddle. And I was out there putting in work next to the Texas rowing team. So, look, maybe an invite to the tower. Perhaps when the banner ceremony happens, maybe in the background somewhere.
You're supposed to be in the back of the picture somewhere.
I just feel like I've earned this, you know. I'm not trying to take away from.
Most of those student athletes that you began with are gone now, I would hope.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're probably right. But, hey, just at the start of that run, I was there before anybody else was.
Good job.
I was working with them. This team's so consistent. I mean, they finished in the top 4 9 years in a row. Again, the national titles, that's what stands out. But they are always in the mix. Tremendous job, ladies. Tremendous job, Captain Dave. And I found this funny. Captain Dave's one of us. So I went and looked at his Twitter account. Just why not? See if he had posted anything about the national championship. Obviously, they won it yesterday, so give him some time. He's not a huge social media guy in general, so maybe he won't ever post anything. But the last tweet on Dave O'Neill's personal Twitter account, I'll screen share this for those of you who are watching the program right now, is from November 1st, 2025. And he said, quote, I don't understand at Disney and at ESPN. I have an ESPN Plus and Disney Plus subscription, but I can't watch college football because I have YouTube TV. This is madness.
Wow. I know. Feel his pain. Sorry, Captain. I feel your pain.
One of us. One of us. One of us.
Yeah, that is awesome.
It's great when celebrities or icons are just like us, you know, and Captain Dave dealing with something that so many college football fans dealt with, man, with the madness that was YouTube TV last year. So figured you'd get a kick out of that as a guy who was having to go through that problem last football season.
Dude, I'm so done with all of this stuff. I went out to dinner, took my wife to dinner on Saturday night. And the guy said, you know, when we were eating, he said, well, you know, we can do everything, he said, but we're having problems with our internet. And I'm like, what? What do you mean you're having problems with your internet? This is Saturday night. So my wife goes to the bathroom. She goes, please ask that guy what internet system they have. And of course, you know what it was.
Oh, no.
It was Rectum.
Yep.
I'm like, it's Saturday night. I'm like, I'm like, you're having problems with your internet. I said, this is a business. What is going on with these people?
Wrecked them.
I don't even want to get into it. I'm going by there actually today and making a personal appearance at their place and say, what is the deal? What can I do? I need to be on. Why are you having upgrades and not telling people that you're having upgrades and that their internet system will be off? And don't tell them 2 hours when it's off for 9 hours. Don't just tell them the truth so they can make plans on doing something. You can't keep trying to fake out people and then saying, oh, we're upgrading your system. Well, tell us.
They don't know, Buck. They go fix something. They don't know how long it's going to take. They might think it's 2 hours, but it ends up taking 24.
Oh, you mean
they
like
have no idea.
You mean like the people who tell you that here's your window of opportunity that we're going to be by your house to fix something? Yeah. Like, you know, you got from 12 to 6. They come at 5:45.
Right. You've been in the world long enough to know how this works.
Yeah, I've been in the world too long to know how it works. It's just, it ticks me off and I get mad at the wrong people because they can't do anything about it.
No, yeah, you're just yelling at some random person in some call center in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, dude, and none of it's from Texas. I talked to people from Carolina last week. I talked to somebody from Georgia. Yeah. I'm like, hey, go Dogs.
No, don't ever say that.
I did say that to the lady. I said, yeah, go Dogs. She said, yeah. She goes, you're in Austin. I'm like, yeah. I said, we got you. I said, we got you soon enough.
Yeah. Well, that's probably what she wanted. Stop yelling at me for your internet being bad. And
I didn't yell at her. She was very kind. She was telling me about the upgrades. I said, you just made upgrades last month and you sent us notice that this was going to happen on this day. I said, this one right here, you sent me a notice that said it was going to be done on 7:30 in the morning, then 1:30, and then it wasn't done until 6 o'clock. I said, that's not giving me notice there. That's a bunch of bull.
You're back on today, thankfully.
I'm on today, brother. I'm going by it personally and saying, what is it in your system that you can give me when you go off that I can trust in your system? I can't, because I can't really trust it. But once again, there's certain things that they can't do. There's certain things that they can do it to at least warn you, you know?
Well, let us know how that goes during tomorrow's show. I'm fascinated to hear how your personal appearance goes at the rectum
store. You think I should change my phone, too, while I'm at it? My wife says, if you got time, change this thing, too.
Yeah, this, what is that, the iPhone 8?
Yeah.
It is the 8?
It is the 8, yes. There's the 17. I'm probably going to have to get that. Might as well do it.
Man, that's going to be a culture shock for you because the iPhone 8 has the home button, right? Yes. That little button that you push.
Yes.
The new iPhones, I mean, this went away a long time ago, so like 99% of the world already knows how to do this, but the newer iPhones, they don't have that home button anymore, Buck.
Where's my home? Tell me where my home is.
You just got to swipe up from the bottom and it takes you home.
Oh, so no button, but still just a swipe maneuver?
You could still get it home, but it's different.
That's fine. All right. Yeah, that's fine. I can get, it'll take me a day or two to get used to that. I'm good. This one's got a little crack in it and everything. This thing has been through the works.
I think you're due for an upgrade, sir.
Yes. Yeah, for like $600.
They might pay you to get a new phone. Usually you have to pay them. It's like, no, we're going to give you something for holding on to the iPhone 8 for as long as you have. Here you go.
I have a brand new BlackBerry that still sits in the desk over here. Brand new.
See what happens. Take that to the rectum store and see what they say if you tell them you want to switch.
They're liable to tell me we can make this work.
And then they'll throw it in the trash in the back. What they'll do. So there you go. Congrats to Texas Rowing. Wanted to give some love to the Longhorns.
Absolutely.
Anytime you win a national championship again, you earned the first word on this program. How about the San Antonio Spurs, Buck?
Oh, yeah, man.
They are back in the NBA Finals for the first time since 2014. San Antonio is Western Conference champions. They dethroned the defending champion Oklahoma City Thunder in Game 7 on Saturday night in OKC, 111 to 103, the final. Spurs got off to a great start in that game. and they weathered a storm. Hell, they weathered a few storms from Oklahoma City. I mean, the Thunder punched back time and time again, but the Spurs had answer after answer after answer, and they get it done in year three of the Victor Wembanyama era. The Spurs way ahead of schedule, and here they are back in the finals for the first time in a dozen years.
It's going to be a good series. It'll be a fun series because, you know, with the Knicks are playing the best ball of anybody right now, but they're 11 game winning streak. And, you know, Carl Anthony Towns is really, that guy is playing really well for a big man. This is going to be, that this is going to be fun, fun to watch. And you know, they've got some role players that are two way guys, offense and defense for, you know, with the Knicks and with the youth of the Spurs, this is going to be a really kind of cool physical battle, I believe. So it'll be fun to watch. And to me, it's going to be who has – I think I know who had a better of the defensive team, and I think it's the Spurs, but how will they go offensively? Who's going to be able to get their offense going?
Yeah, game one Wednesday night in San Antonio. The Spurs had the better regular season record between the two teams, so they will get home court advantage. Obviously great news for the Spurs. Absolutely. But you mentioned that the Knicks red hot coming in. I mean, they had an easier path to the finals. There's no doubt about that. But they have won 11 in a row. They were down 2-1 in their first round series against Atlanta. They won the final three in that series and then back-to-back sweeps to get to the NBA Finals. So they will have the rest advantage. There is no doubt. Spurs will have the home court advantage. San Antonio opened up as a favorite. They are minus 200 series favorites. They're about five and a half point favorites for game one on Wednesday. We'll obviously wait till Wednesday to give our pick for that game. But the Spurs, look, going into the conference finals, everybody's like, the winner of San Antonio OKC is winning the championship. And Vegas still views that as the case, but because the Knicks, again, made incredibly quick work of the Cleveland Cavaliers and they're playing as well as they've been playing, it feels like a lot more people are at least giving New York a chance, but I tend to agree with Vegas. I'm leaning San Antonio, and I'm thinking more five, maybe six, than a chance for this one to go the distance. I like the Spurs a lot here.
Yeah, I think six is good.
Spurs in six, so they win it in front of Timothy Chalamet, Ben Stiller, all those Jimmy Fallon, all the celeb Knicks fans in the Garden.
Absolutely.
Early thoughts there. Well, we'll go back to the Western Conference Finals, man. I mean, what a game on Saturday. What a total team effort, right? Victor Wembanyama led the way with 22, but Julian Champagne was fantastic. He had six threes. He was plus 16, which was the best plus minus for any player on the floor for either team. De'Aaron Fox had a nice bounce back game. Castle was great. Harper made some big plays down the stretch. Vassell. How about Luke Kornet with the LeBron James chase down block in the fourth quarter when Oklahoma City was making a run to get back into it? Luke Kornet, the only time he'll ever be compared to LeBron in his life. The chase down pin block on Hartenstein against the board. I mean, that guy's been kind of a punching bag for Spurs fans and for basketball people everywhere. Just obviously the difference between Wemby and him is substantial. The difference between Wemby and most is too. But he comes in and made some huge plays. Like it takes everybody to win a game like that, and everybody stepped up.
Well, the difference between he and Wemby is that dude has a championship ring, does he not?
Yeah, with Boston a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's a few other differences, I think, between
there's a
guys.
Few.
Yeah, but that is a difference, technically speaking. You're right. Kornet's got that championship experience there. Man, I mean, that was fun to watch. Like, you knew it was going to take something special to take down the champs, especially in their house, and the Spurs delivered. Wemby named MVP, of course. Averaged 27 points and 11 rebounds per game, 19 total blocks, which is the most for any individual player in a conference finals, East or West, since 2005. And is it safe to say, Buck, the new face of the league has arrived?
I would say yes.
You think Wemby, like, I think if they go on to win the finals next week, then yeah, the answer is definitely yes. But I think you can almost make that argument right now with the way that guy has played. And obviously you look ahead to the future, the fact that dude's 22 and this is just year three of the Spurs core, feels like he's about to take over this thing.
Yeah, they need to consistently get Fox going. He's the guy that throughout this finals is going to have to be a consistent player. His inconsistency is scary at times, you know. But as long as they get that, I mean, they're not all going to be great. But as long as between the Fox and Harper, because I know what to expect from Castle. I think he's okay. I know he's going to turn it over. You know, he's going to turn it over, BK. He's going to dribble one off his leg or try a cross court pass. That's what he does. But if he can cut down on the turnovers and the other guys play pretty well, I think they got a really good chance.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think Castle's more than just okay, but you're right. The turnover issues were problematic in spurts in that Oklahoma City series. But
New York's got really good defense.
Sure. No, it's a great team. You don't get to the finals. Like, I don't care what your path is, whatever. You don't make it this far unless you're really good. And by the way, this is a rematch of the Emirates NBA Cup.
Yes.
Which the Knicks beat the Spurs. I know Spurs fans would happily take that trade-off. Hey, y'all can have this meaningless in-season tournament championship. We'll take the Larry O'Brien, thank you very much. But these teams played three times in the regular season. The Knicks won two, including that NBA Cup, which was kind of the closest thing to the playoffs that we had during the regular year. So I guess that's worth bringing up. The Spurs didn't lose to a lot of teams. They won 60-plus games during the regular season. They did have a losing record against New York. So, the Knicks aren't going to go down without a fight. Jalen Brunson's a stud. Karl-Anthony Towns is really good. I mean, Bridges, Hart, they've got a lot of really talented pieces there. Mike Brown has been in the NBA Finals before. These guys are good. But I just, you know, I think San Antonio's the better team right now. And the question is, I think my biggest question when you start to think of the finals, and we'll get to, you know, some sound from some of the heroes from Game 7 in a moment, but like, can San Antonio, that was slaying the dragon right there. I mean, you saw them as soon as the final horn sounded on Saturday. You had guys crying. I mean, there was so much emotion. Guys crying, hugging each other. Yeah, I mean, it was, and they, look, you should celebrate. It's a huge moment for the franchise, huge moment for that young core. Not an easy thing to accomplish, but it's like, man, that felt like a championship celebration. Now you get a couple of days off. Can you, like, hey, all right, that was just one series. Job's not finished. We got to go win another series against a very good team. Meanwhile, again, the Knicks have just been sitting, relaxing, chilling. They could have gone on a team vacation to Turks and Caicos if they wanted to. It's been so long since they've played. Like, that's, I guess, my only reservation is, like, can the Spurs right away bounce back and get as engaged in this series?
I'm glad the first game's at home.
Yeah, the first two at home obviously helps. This does go to a seventh game, it is at home. The Spurs proved that they could win a game seven on the road, but
this will wake them up. This home crowd will wake them up early on Wednesday.
Yeah, it doesn't worry me too much. I saw some people asking that question. I think they realize what's on the line right here, and that they still need four more wins for this to be a truly successful season.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Wimby was excited. He was emotional, man.
Yeah, here's Wimby after the game, talking about the emotions he's feeling after the Spurs won the West.
Winning the Larry O'Brien, it's a childhood dream. And having a real shot at it, having a chance, tangible chance at winning it, at realizing a dream, you know, it's a chance. It's a lifetime chance, you know. You never know when it's going to happen again. But it's, you know, the day we win it, speaking for myself, it's going to be an amazing day of, like, realization of a dream, you know. It's hard to put into words. It's almost like the meaning of my life, you know.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is—he sounds like his core, down to his core, was becoming an NBA player and becoming one of the great NBA players. That's what he dreams of. And year number three to be able to get to a championship game, to win a championship at this young of an age, it means a lot to him. You can just tell how much it means to him.
He called it the meaning of his life, Buck.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like this you know what? Okay, I'm going to get there four or five more times. You know, I'm young. I really know how good I am. You know, I know I'm maybe the best player in the world right now. But this is it's almost like he understands it's not automatic that you get to these things. It's not automatic these things happen for you. So he's there, and that's how much it really, really means to him. So I expect him to play out of this world.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I mean, he's talking like a guy who's 42 years old and has been right in the league for 20 years, and he's like, God, my whole life's work is to win one championship. Yeah, this guy's 42, it's his third year in the league, and he's like, you could tell how much it means to him. And that's cool, man. There's a lot of superstars in sports now who are like too cool for school. Ah, whatever. Like, it means something. You could tell how much Saturday meant to him and to all of those guys. That's cool to see, man. That's a passionate group. And
they know how young they are, and they know they can be together for a long time. But you got one sitting right in front of your face right now.
Yeah.
You want to take advantage.
Iron's hot. So we'll take your thoughts. We'll get back into the Spurs and Thunder, and obviously Spurs and Knicks 2 days away from game one of the NBA Finals down in the Alamo City. Man, amazing stuff for San Antonio. What a game. What a series between those two Western Conference heavyweights. We will chop it up with Evan Veith of Inside Texas. Texas baseball is moving on to the Supers for the first time in 3 years. We'll recap the Longhorns Austin regional sweep with Evan in a moment. But before we do that, how about our first round of sponsor shout outs?
Folks, with my messed up back, getting the right support for me it used to be super difficult. Now I found the folks that relax the back. It's no longer difficult. I've got the comfort that I need, and I've got the chair that I need for my friends at Relax the Back. And they have select gravity, zero gravity recliners, office chairs, desks, stand-up desks just for you, everything you need at their two locations. They've got the accessories that you can use, too, whether it's in your car. You can put them right there on your regular old couch. You can put them on the floor with you. They've got the pads that you need, the warming pads to help out your back, your shoulders, your neck, your thoracic, your lumbar area. It all happens at Relax the Back, folks. Two great locations. One is in BK's at the Hill Country Galleria across the street from Whole Foods, and in North Austin at the Gateway Shopping Center across from the Container Store. Live pain-free like the buck at Relax the Back.
Yes, indeed. Love Relax the Back. Love my Relax the Back chair that I'm sitting in this morning. Also love my AV Consultations TV setup. Look, the two screens behind me hooked up by Tom McKay and his great crew at Audiovisual Consultations. They look great. They're perfectly aligned. There's no wire sticking out. That's the kind of work that you get from AV Consultations. And of course, I talk about my four screen man cave that I have in the living room. I love it. I don't like to leave my place because I don't get four 65 inch TVs in a box at a whole lot of other people's places. AV Consultations gave me the TV setup that I always wanted. They turned my dreams into reality. They can do the same for you, whether it's the man cave or the woman cave. If you want the 85 inch screen like the Buck has, maybe that home theater room with the giant projection screen and the badass surround sound speakers, how about a patio TV set, whatever, they do it all. And they've been hooking up Central Texas since 1988. Thousands of satisfied customers. You can and you should be next. avconsultations.com is their website, or give our guy Tom McKay a call, 512-255-8678 for audiovisual consultations.
And our friends over at Sue Patrick, the incredible selection of Texas Longhorn apparel, collectibles, accessories, and they've got even more for your gifts, books, and a wide variety of men's and women's clothing. Hey, Father's Day is in June. We have hit June, so start thinking about Dad, you kids. Start thinking about Pops needing to have that nice polo for going to play golf. They've got shorts there. It's not just the shirts. It's the caps. It's the T-shirts. And it's the shorts. They've got it all at Sue Patrick's. How about this? They've got plenty of parking space at 5222 Burner Road. They offer free shipping on online orders of $59 or more. Free curbside pickup, the Jellycat headquarters. And once again, 50 years of service in Central Texas at Sue Patrick's. They will get it done for you, Mom and Dad. But it's Dad's Month coming up. It's Dad's Month for sure. For more information, folks, go to SuePatrick.com.
Yes, indeed. Love Sue Patrick rocking my on-field Texas baseball cap. Speaking of Texas baseball, if you want to catch a game in the Austin Super Regional, Centex Tickets has you covered. The Longhorns will be hosting next weekend. We don't know the times and dates just yet. We'll find out later today. But Texas and Oregon, spot in the College World Series on the line. If you want to be there, CentexTickets.com. How about an NBA Finals game, yo? San Antonio It's the shortest drive from here in Central Texas. Get down there. SendTech tickets. I use SendTech tickets on Saturday. I was at the Texas-Tarleton State game. Use the promo code SendTech10. I pay what you pay. I don't get preferential treatment. I get that 10% off discount, though, from SendTechTickets.com. They've got you covered. Any sporting event, any concert, Broadway show, festival, you name it. SendTechTickets.com. All right. Speaking of Texas baseball, let's talk Longhorn baseball with a guy who was at the dish all weekend long. I'm not sure when this dude sleeps. This guy is putting out content like every single minute of every single day. One of our great friends, one of our favorite guests, Evan Veith of Inside Texas and InsideTexas.com, joining us here on Bucky and BK. Evan, thanks for the time, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Yeah, the sleep is a little rough on the weekends these days. I think I was done off the computer. Everything shut off at about 12:45, 1 a.m. So, you know, that's why you bring your charger to the ballpark. I was joking around with some people in our threads that I plucked the wrong one, brought two iPhone chargers, so I had to run back home to do most of my work at the end of the night.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Well, hey, it beats the alternative. You're a Texas grad and a fan, too, so I know you'd rather be covering this team on a deep postseason run versus not having to be up late to do that. Man, I don't even know where to begin, so I'll kind of give you the floor, Evan. I mean, we can go game by game, but just overarching big takeaway from Texas sweeping their way through the Austin Regional. Obviously, two blowout wins on Friday and Saturday, and then a nail-biter in the regional final last night. Kind of your biggest takeaway from everything you saw at the dish.
Yeah, I think what you can be pretty happy about as a Texas fan, even though that game last night was sloppy in a lot of ways, like it was not perfect baseball being played by either side, is that you showed up and dominated your first two games. And, you know, you hear the critique of the regional draw and how easy it was. And, you know, Holy Cross clearly was not on the level of these other teams. And that's fair to say, like, okay, you beat Holy Cross, but Tarleton State, even with their depleted staff, like you really took it to them. 11 runs in the first five innings. That game was over. Got to save a lot of your arms. But then you can go and turn around and win a nail biter in a close game, and one where you kind of got to get yourself up for the end of it and really play till the very last out. And surely that is what happened for Texas, which that's just what you want to see from a team making a postseason run. That, you know, big critique of this ball club and what Jim Schlossingle's done is that they kind of took 3 weeks off coming into this, right? Like, took off the SEC championship in a way. You know, the bats weren't told to not score runs. They wanted to win, but the bats didn't score runs. And they were mostly just throwing out guys and you know, giving Melantis and Harrison a chance out of the pen. But they also had Missouri the week before that, who's just not a very good team. So really, you hadn't seen Texas playing that, like, intense style of baseball since the Mississippi State series at the start of the month. But then you go and you get UCSB in the regional final, and Ruger Riojas, who hasn't really pitched in 3 weeks, goes and gives you five innings, and outside of one pitch, like, was outstanding. Really, really good for Texas. Really settled down after that solo home run in the second inning. And your bats did their job. It was frustrating the first five. They weren't getting to Montgomery. But, you know, I was saying in our game thread, like, it's the third time around the order. You know what Robbins, Tinney, Pat can do. And what do you know? Robbins and Tinney step up and get singles. And then from there, it was just about kind of moving the bases and getting the right guys on. And not a ton of power until Robbins comes up and hits that, you know, catcher's interference. Sorry to my Astros fans for PTSD, but as a Nats fan, like, couldn't help but make the 2019 World Series Game 6 comparison. Like, you know, Trey Turner running down the line gets called out, and then Anthony Rendon, one batter later, sends it out of the stadium. So it was just a really good showing from Texas to go and beat a team in a close game. And you have to give your props to Luke Harrison for coming in after starting on Friday and, you know, giving you that one out. And he didn't shy away from the best hitter on UCSB's team. He attacked him with two sliders in the zone, gets him to pop up to the left side. Anthony Pack had no idea where that baseball was. So thankfully Adrian Rodriguez was there to camp under it. And yeah, it was a nail biter. It was intense for nine straight innings, but that's the kind of thing you're going to get in college baseball. And Texas ended up sweeping through their regional when a lot of teams are either not playing in their championship finals, having already been eliminated, or really having to go tooth and nail to the very end.
You know, Evan, I came away from the weekend thinking, boy, this is a team that's a mature team with all the different pieces that they have, you know, and the way, like you said, they had a couple weeks off, but it was a mature team that understood why their coach didn't give a rat's ass about the SEC championship game and what he was going to do. They understood it. Fans were kind of trying to, you know, figure out what is it that Slosh is trying to do? Why isn't he pitching his best pitcher on Friday? It seemed like they understood. I came away this weekend saying they understood what it was all about. So, I mean, that's the important thing, is the team understands what they were trying to do. And they came away as a pretty mature group, as you said, you know, battling all the way for nine innings in that last game.
You know, I think if you gave Schloss truth serum about that SEC championship and just said, like, you know, give me your thoughts on what you did. Do you have any regrets on it? I think he would say no for about 95% of it. And that's that's what fans need to understand. It's like, yeah, I know the SEC tournament, you want to win it. And they didn't try to lose, but they just weren't attacking it the same way. But I think what he was really – the only thing he could really be upset about is that those relievers – who came into this game were rusty. And I don't think he expected them not to have thrown until Sunday night like that. If you had told him that he was not going to be able to get Crossland and Lufie Cozart in until then, he would have been like, ooh, maybe I should at least give him an inning in the SEC champions or the SEC tournament run. But, you know, Lufie was really, really rusty through, I believe, 8 balls to 2 strikes. Mm-hmm. Crossland was just a bad decision to throw the freshman in there on a bunt situation, especially he's just been bad with inherited runners this year. That's not what he should be doing. And I just think Schlossnagel hasn't quite gotten the grasp of when to bring Crossland in. So those guys were rusty. Thomas Burns was the hidden MVP of this game for his 1 2/3 innings pitched and keeping them off the scoreboard. And then Sam Cozart, like, you could tell that he was just this is arguably his worst performance of the season. Texas still ended up winning the game, which says a lot about this team. Now that those guys have kind of shaken the rust off and they'll be able to throw in the midweek a little bit more, yep. I don't think you're going to have as bad of a bullpen performance as this last game. But, you know, it was alarming for sure. That throw into the side, like, Crossland really took his time with that ball and then rushed the throw after, like, giving the runner about 75% of the space he needed to get there. And then, you know, of course, Lufie wasn't throwing strikes. And Sam Cozart, like, it wasn't even that he was missing pitches so much as, like, when have you seen teams make that hard of contact on him all year? Schlossnagel noted when Kelly came up the second time, like, he'd never seen a left-handed hitter hit Cozart to the wall like that opposite field, which is why Harrison came in. Like, he was like, I can't let Cozart see the best hitter in the tournament outside of my team right now after what he did the inning before. So that's where you get Luke Harrison, and Harrison came in and was nails. And you know what? Harrison came out of the bullpen in the SEC tournament. So if you want a positive data point there, like, he got that mental rep and knew what it meant to, like, go out there, set himself up with those players, take his chances and take his throws, and then come into a game. That was something that happened in the SEC tournament. So props to Schloss on that, at least.
Yeah, it's a great point right there. Evan Veith of Inside Texas joining us here on Bucky and BK. How about Anthony Pack Jr.? I mean, we really could ask you a question about him every week we have you on. SEC Freshman of the Year, the first freshman in this conference to hit 400 during a season, the 3-home run game on Friday. I mean, you think about all the great players, all of the legends who have donned Texas baseball uniforms over the year. Anthony Pack Jr., the first to ever hit 3 home runs in a single postseason game. Just nothing's too big for this guy. What can you say about Anthony Pack this weekend, but really all season long?
You know, the power's not even on a scouting report. Like you write up a bunch of lines on what this player can do, and the first 15 are about his maturity and plate discipline and ability to hit the ball to any part of the ballpark and kind of this no way of getting out with the runners in scoring position, which I know he did this last game, but I believe he was batting around 515 with runners in scoring position this year. Maybe I'm a little high on that stat, but it just goes to show what kind of player this guy is. And not only to have that be your main selling point as an on-base hit guy, but to then go and enter the postseason your first game and hit 3 homers and to different parts of the ballpark, by the way. It wasn't just like this Holy Cross pitcher's chucking 85 miles an hour down the middle and I'm pulling it out for, you know, wall scrapers. You know, he had a bomb to right field and then he hits one to the Yeti yard. Like, that's – it just goes to show what kind of player he is. I think Anthony Pack is going to be – by the time he's done here, he's still got 2 more seasons left at Texas. Like, potentially a dude whose name is up in that circle of trust, this Falk field, like, just such a tremendous, tremendous ball player. And one of the reasons, you know, that top three at the top of the order is always going to give Texas an advantage, at least until you get into the depths, if they make it there, of the College World Series. Like, there's just very few teams who can trot out a 1-3 who hits the way that Robbins, Tinney, and Pack do on a game-to-game basis.
Evan, what do you have to do now for the Super Regionals? What do you have to do? What do you have to be careful of going into this? I mean, do you have to be careful? You just got to kind of keep your calm and keep your cool and do the things, you know, because they're starting to get themselves geared up to that kind of crescendo deal. But you don't want to peak too soon and get too crazy. Don't you have to kind of keep your cool in this Super Regional now that's coming up?
Yeah, definitely. And they had to keep their cool and not peak too early 2 days ago on Saturday, yes, when they were, you know, 35-3 run differential through two games. They had to, you know, just kind of hit the showers and get ready for the next game. So, again, to that point of the rest, like, they haven't played a three-game regular series since Missouri. And even then, we know what Missouri was, really, since Mississippi State. So they're now reacclimating themselves. The pitchers are getting ready to throw on their regular days again. Just getting back into the rhythm of things is what these guys need to do over the next week. You know, Oregon's a very formidable opponent. They were the one I didn't want to see between Oregon State and them. I think their fans will travel better than maybe some people are expecting for the series. You know, Oregon fans go crazy for their sports. They will travel. They love the stadium and packing up where they're playing at home and even on the road. So that's a team with some really good freshman talent. Like, that's what's going to really strike you when you read profiles about this team and learn about them. They didn't go crazy in their regional offensively. It was the pitching that really won it for them. So the goal for Texas is really kind of business as usual with the arms, like, limit these teams. UC Santa Barbara only scored four, and two of those came off of, you know, really three big mistakes from two pitchers for Texas. So, you know, if they're going to win these games 4-1 in their own regional and even less than that, then Texas's bats need to say, all right, we have the pitching staff to withstand these less than five runs of work from the other team. Let's go give them six every game, and suddenly you've gone 2-0 and you're on to the College World Series. So a business as usual week is coming ahead for Texas. Schloss was very heavy on the rest side coming into the series, and then right as this week started, he said he was going to err on the side of work, really push these players in their practices. That worked out well. Clearly, they came energized to the dish. I think now it's about kind of settling in and really leaning into that Max Wiener zen and making sure you know just the responsibilities of each player going forward, because every player is going to have to play a role in this series. And that's what it takes to win, win and also just get to the College World Series.
Yeah. Evan Veith of Inside Texas joining us here on Bucky and BK. One more Texas question, Evan. And I know you're a college baseball fan, so I want to get your thoughts on UCLA going down in a moment. But look, so many contributions from so many players for Texas. I mean, the Longhorns outscored their three opponents 41-7, right? So if you're doing good, bad, and ugly, way more good than bad and ugly. But Casey Bohr, but look, he did have a couple of hits, but there were times up there he looked a little lost at the plate. I think he was kind of the one bat that didn't have like a couple of super big moments, especially in the blowouts on Friday and Saturday. We know how good he is. We know what he's capable of. But what are your thoughts on Casey Bohr, bruh, and how important do you think he is for the Longhorns getting back to the College World Series?
I believe I wrote an article right at the end of April or around that time that was just talking about the five most important players for Texas going forward. Like, who we know what Robbins, Tinney, and Pack are going to be in the postseason. Maybe not so much Pack, but we knew those guys were going to be good. We knew Volantis was going to be good, but who's important? And I think my number one was Ruru Riojas, which is aging pretty well right now. Like, it was important that he went out there and did what he did for Texas. But I think my number two was Casey Bohr, and if not him, then Ethan Mendoza, who Mendoza's done great in this postseason so far. Yeah, for Borba, he's always been an X-factor guy for Texas this season. Like, they go with how he goes a lot of the time. And the changing of positions might be annoying him a little bit mentally. Just, like, there's more going on in your brain when you have to move over from first to third. And then, especially if they flirt back with the idea of putting Mendoza on the field, then he's going to have to go back to first base. So that might be taxing him a little bit. But this is just the Casey Borba experience. He's a very, very streaky hitter. But you know what? You look at the stats, and as I'm talking, I'm going to pull him up. I believe he's still third or fourth on the team in OPS on the year, something around that mark. So, yeah, he's still fourth behind, you know, that top three with a 951. Because when he's on, it's just unreal power and hitting it out of the ballpark. He's third in home runs on the team. If it works, he's that perfect three true outcome player where you got to walk him or else he's in the ball to a gap or out of the ballpark. Right now, though, teams know that they can just kind of throw that outside slider to him and he's not gonna be able to make contact. He's whiffing on changeups up in the zone, clearly in his own head about something. But you mentioned it, BK, at the end, he ended that game with two really positive plays, a base hit up the middle that started an inning. And that started, you know, when Pendergrass had that play with the bunt, he scored the Aiden Robbins homer. And then he also walked to start his next at bat, which that was a tough at bat. He took pitches on the outside that he'd been swinging at. So at least he's exiting the weekend thinking, man, I can do that. Like, I just did it. And that was against the best pitching I saw all weekend. It's not like I can't go and be a contributor for this team. I just haven't been. So, yeah, the 7-8-9 for this team is always going to be a little tricky to evaluate because Larson was really, really good, but he is a single and walk guy. That's all you're going to get from Ashton Larson. So if he's hitting 2-for-4 every game with a walk. That's awesome. Like, that's perfect. But if he's not getting his singles, there's not much from him. And then Darian Pendergrass, bunting a lot, infield singles, not a lot of power. That's fine. He's out there for his glove, but you just can't have a black hole at any spot in your lineup. And that's why Borba is so important in between them. If Larson gets on, let's go hit a homer so we don't have to care about what Pendergrass does, and or go get on with a walk to set up Aiden Robbins, even if Pendergrass gets out after you, because Texas is at their best when Robbins is coming up in the leadoff spot with runners on. Like that's the perfect juice for them to go and score runs.
Yeah, no doubt. Last one, Evan, before we let you go. Evan Veith, Inside Texas. Check out the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel as well. Look, so many storylines from around the country in the opening weekend of the NCAA College Baseball Tournament, but none bigger than what happened in Los Angeles with the number one overall seed, UCLA, going down. I mean, they were the best team in the country all year long, the only team to not lose a series during the regular season. Not only do they lose, they don't even make the regional final, and they lost to the 4 seed twice in their regional. Just your thoughts. I mean, second straight year, the number one overall seed loses in the regional. Your thoughts on UCLA bowing out, maybe what it means for the rest of the country.
You know, Schlossnagel took the end of his press conference to kind of talk about the regional format. He is for a while now, but I think it's ramped up a little bit at Texas because deep down he knows that this proposal really helps 1 seeds, but he's been saying that, you know, you play a full year of 3-game series. The college baseball world is 3 games on the weekend. And then you make the postseason no matter how good you are, and you get thrown into this very weird format. Regional formats in baseball and softball are very unique to college sports. And you don't see it anywhere else where it's, you have double elimination. You have to play 4 teams and prepare for 3 different teams. And so even St. Mary's, like, that was a really high seeded 4 seed. Like, that was a good 4 seed matchup. And UCLA was the number one overall team. They probably shouldn't have been playing a team that good, but because of the way that these tournaments are set up with a lot of regional emphasis, you want to keep West Coast teams on the West Coast. Like, it's just better for the brand and better for the sport. They play a good 4 seed. And even if the 2s and 3s weren't quite as good, like, they probably should have been playing in a 3-game series just against St. Mary's instead of having to figure out Cal Poly and Vautech as well. So I'm not quite on that. I think that's clearly a thing that would help 1 seeds more, which Schlossnagel was proposing, where it's just 1 versus 64. And then you play the next 16 best-of-3 series and the next 8. And then you're in Omaha. I think the regional format's fun, but it can catch you. And we've seen it for 2 years in a row now that the number one overall seed, it was Vanderbilt last year, UCLA this year, got caught by a team that just kind of got hot at the right time. I will say, you know, UCLA, they played a really hard out-of-conference slate, so I'm not knocking who schedules for them. Like, they were playing SEC teams, beating teams like A&M, and I believe like Tennessee. But the Big Ten doesn't prepare you very well for college baseball postseason because you just get a lot of weekends off. There's just quite a few teams that are never going to be competitive, and I know we harp on Missouri and even South Carolina at some points, but you know, to every 1 Missouri and South Carolina, there's 3 of those in the Big Ten. So, yes, you got to get up for Oregon, but sometimes your players are just better than the other teams. And it doesn't really matter that much. You're just going to go and sweep them. So, UCLA, this is kind of the problem with this mega expansion. Pac-12 baseball was the 3rd best conference because it was UCLA and USC and Oregon State. And now you're in this weird Big Ten that doesn't even feature Oregon State, and you're playing such a bloated schedule of random teams, and you're going to Rutgers 1 weekend, and then you're coming back home at UCLA to play Oregon the next. This is just the problem with what college sports is at right now, and I know Schlossnagel is trying to advocate for things to change. I don't think they're going to change the regional format at all. That would surprise me. But, you know, the portal opened today, which is crazy. There are still teams doing their regionals right now, and they might have players that are telling them, hey, coach, I know we got a regional today, but I might be entering the portal right now. What? We got to play some baseball today. So there's a lot, you know, there's a lot wrong with football, probably more wrong with football and basketball than baseball, but there's still just a lot that needs to be fixed. And that's not saying it's UCLA's, you know, that's what they should be clamoring about. They should have won their games, but it's just a weird postseason and transfer portal process for these teams.
Yeah, they just had a tough back-to-back years of this so far with UCLA. And like you said, you know, you go from the West Coast to the East Coast, you're playing Rutgers. One day you're in sunshine, next day you're playing a 3-game series and it's freezing cold up in New Jersey somewhere or in Ohio. It's strange. It just is. But hey, you wanted to get to the Big Ten. You're in the Big Ten now. So what can you do?
Yeah, crazy. Crazy, 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 crazy. Evan, great stuff, man. Really appreciate the time. Hopefully we have you on either later this week or next week talking about a trip to the College World Series. But continued success. Real quick before we let you go, a plug for everything you guys have going on Inside Texas.
Yeah, InsideTexas.com is where you can find all the articles, all the threads. We're definitely going to be updating about the transfer portal as best we can. Not a lot of guys right now who are big names, but portal's going to get hot pretty soon, especially after next week. So keep an eye on that. And then you can find me at Evan Vieth on Twitter, V-I-E-T-H, is how you spell my last name. So, yeah, posting a lot about baseball. We'll have some thoughts on the portal and team needs going on there. So make sure you check me out.
No doubt. Great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, there he goes. Evan Vieth, Inside Texas, InsideTexas.com. He just told you how you can find him and his work, and he does a great job covering all things Texas sports, but obviously Longhorn baseball on the brain. Texas back in the Super Regional for the first time since 2023. They will be hosting a Super Regional for the first time since 2021. So, you know, don't take this stuff for granted, right? Like, we know what Texas baseball is, and I'm not trying to convince anybody that, oh, this season is now a success. It's Omaha or bust always. For Longhorn baseball, but it's been 5 years since we've had Super Regional baseball in Texas. Even though the Longhorns have been to Omaha more than any other program, even though the history and the standard and traditions are what they are, it's no guarantee that you make it this far. It's no guarantee you get to host when you make it this far. And enjoy this, you know, soak it in. I'm sure that players are already hard at work getting ready for next weekend, but hopefully they celebrated this one a little bit. As a fan, I'm celebrating this one a little bit. And, it's a great accomplishment to get to the Sweet 16 of college baseball, and that's where Texas is right now.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be even better after this weekend. That'll be awesome.
They got a tough one. Oregon, the number 11 national seed. They swept through the Eugene Regional. I haven't talked about it. They did it with pitching. You know, they're kind of known for their offense. They had some timely hits and some timely home runs to put some games on ice, but a lot of lower scoring games than expected in that Eugene Regional. But they went 3-0. They beat the three other teams there, just like Texas beat the three other teams here in Austin. Yeah. And Oregon was the second best team in the Big Ten all season long. So, yeah, they are good. The Longhorns will have their work cut out for them, but that's sometimes you get lucky. Like the last time Texas hosted a Super, they played a really bad South Florida team that they swept easily. Like you're seeing some, you know, Cal Poly's moving on, Little Rock, a four seed's moving on. Sometimes you get lucky and you get to play a three or a four seed, but more often than not, when you advance to the Supers, you're going to be playing somebody really freaking good, and that's obviously the case for the Longhorns this time.
Yeah, this group at Oregon keeping a low scoring with their pitching.
Yeah,
that's the deal for them.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I like Texas. The Longhorns have been so good at home all season long. It's why you work as hard as you do in the regular year to get the chance to host. Like Texas now 32-4 at the dish this season. I'd like for them to be 34-4 when this thing is all said and done. But yeah, it's a pretty young Oregon team. You got to make them travel to you. And look, Texas, they outscored their opponents 41-7. I know yesterday was close. It was tough and tight. But I think in the long run, Buck, that will benefit the Longhorns. You don't win games 16-2 and 19-1.
Oh, no.
In the Supers or in Omaha. You win a lot of 6-4 kind of games with tense moments and high leverage situations. You had those last night. The experience Texas gained from that win over Santa Barbara, I think.
Yeah, they got the free swing against the Crusaders on Friday. That was free swinging. That was just go up there, just whatever they threw, just knock it around wherever you wanted to hit it to.
Yeah, I think we said it on Friday. Like, it'd be a minor miracle if Holy Cross won a game. Like, beating Texas would have obviously been huge, but, like, just beating any of the other teams that they had to play would have been a pretty stunning upset. They were clearly one of the weakest teams in the field. And they lost 19-1 to Texas. And then they lost 15-1 to Santa Barbara on Saturday. So thanks for coming out, Holy Cross. Hope you enjoyed your stay in Austin.
Get out of the weather.
And now get back to the non-90 plus degree temps that we have down here. Go back to Worcester.
Those poor kids were looking, they looked fatigued too out there, standing out there in that heat. Hey, with their unis that were meant for being back there in 45-degree weather.
Yeah.
They were sitting out there with Little League uniforms on. I'm like, damn, that stuff looks hot that they're wearing. Well, yeah, because it's 40 degrees when they play baseball back there.
Right. Yeah, look, that's part of the home field advantage for Texas. I mean, Santa Barbara, they had to play two games yesterday, right? They had to survive Tarleton in an elimination game to get the chance to play Texas in the regional final. And it's like, it's obviously warmer in Santa Barbara than it is in Worcester, Mass, but it's what, 70s year round there?
Yeah. It's not like that. Not like yesterday.
They don't get what they got yesterday. And their starting pitcher was so good, but you could tell he was kind of tiring out. And in the sixth inning, Texas was able to get to him. That's part of the advantage. Like Oregon doesn't get weather like this.
No.
So I assume it's going to be red hot again this coming weekend here in the
ATX. It'll be hot for them ducks.
For them duckies. And Texas is used to that. Like, obviously, they got to play well, but that's part of the advantage that you get is you know your ballpark, you know the intricacies of the turf, and also you know the weather, you know how it works. And Oregon, there were people wearing hoodies at the Ducks game last night. It's like, yeah, you're not going to need that if you're traveling to Austin. No. Leave that at home. Quack, quack.
Absolutely, man.
So there you go. Good stuff from Texas baseball. We'll talk to Greg Swindell, legendary lifetime Longhorn Greg Swindell, in about 30 minutes or so. He had his thoughts on the pitching and everything that he saw from the Longhorns over the weekend. We'll shift gears in a moment. We've got some more NBA conversation to get into. The Stanley Cup final is set. The latest on Brendan Sorsby and a story that's going to make you feel really, really old. And
even more older than I am.
Well, that's hard, I guess, for you. Maybe our average listener, it'll make them feel old. But before we get to anything else, how about another round of sponsor shout outs?
Folks, if you're seeking specialized patient-focused orthopedic care, do contact the experts at Texas Orthopedics. Their physicians offer comprehensive surgical and non-surgical orthopedic care for children and adults, spinal care, sports medicine, of course, joint replacement, rheumatology, and more, and rehabilitation, too, once you get those things all fixed up. Dr. Danny, Dr. Stockton, dedicated orthopedic surgeons there. Their goal is to get you right back into good health and the great quality of life that you deserve. Folks, Texas Orthopedics is the largest independent orthopedic practice in Central Texas. For more information, go to txortho.com.
Yes, indeed. Much love to Texas Orthopedics. Also, a shout out to our friends at Early Bird CBD.
There you go.
Yeah, I spent some time at the lake this weekend. Had me the Early Bird CBD drops. Was dishing these out to some friends who were with me as well. Dropped a couple of these and a couple of drinks. And I was feeling good, to say the least. Love Early Bird CBD. If you haven't tried them yet, what are you waiting for? You've heard us talk about them for months. It's a local Austin company that makes products designed to make you feel good. The drops are perfect for the summer. Drop them into an alcoholic beverage, a juice, a tonic water, whatever you're drinking, and you're going to get the great effects of CBD, but also some THC as well. Take the edge off. You're going to love how you feel with Early Bird CBD. Of course, they've got the gummies as well. These things are fantastic. Three different flavors to choose from. They've got these big 30 packs. They've got the little 4 packs as well if you want to try them. Bucky takes this stuff. I take this stuff. We've got our friends and our family hooked on Early Bird CBD. We think you'll like it too. Use the promo code Bucky. You're going to get 20% off of your first purchase from our great friends at earlybirdcbd.com.
My good friends at Woods Comfort Systems, folks, for 70 years in Central Texas, they have been getting it done when it comes to air conditioning, and you need it right now. Believe me, you want your air conditioning system working properly. They were at my house last week, and yeah, they gave me a time that they would be coming, BK, between noon and 4 o'clock. You know what time they got here? 12:30. That was just perfect. Nice. I wasn't sitting around waiting at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They got to my home, got everything done. They were in and out quickly, and my air conditioning system's working just fine. They've been doing this, folks, with heating also. They've been doing it with air conditioning. Now they do it with plumbing. If you have any plumbing issues, indoors or outdoors, please call in our friends at Woods Comfort Systems. Nobody does it better.
WoodsComfortSystems.com is the website. 512-842-5066, the phone number to call. Shout out to them. And a quick shout out to our guy, Dr. Chad, and his great team at Sleep Cycle Center. You know, Dr. Chad lost his own father to undiagnosed sleep apnea. It's why he is so passionate about this mission, the mission of making sure that you don't have to go through what he and his family went through. If you're a snorer or you know a snorer, if you have trouble sleeping or you know somebody who has trouble sleeping, Don't put this off any longer. It can be a serious health risk. Your sleep is the most important thing that you do in this life. Make sure you are sleeping the way you need to be sleeping to be healthy. Sleep Cycle Center, they have your back. It's not just CPAP. They've got tons of state-of-the-art technologies that can help your snoring go away, to help your sleeping problems go away forever, so you don't have to worry about anything like that. More than 22 million Americans have undiagnosed sleep apnea. That could be you. Go see Dr. Chad for a free consultation. Also, if you mention this show, you're going to get $100 off an at-home sleep study. No risk involved whatsoever. SleepCycleCenters.com is their website. Two Austin area locations, one up north, 183 and Breaker. The other in Lakeway off of 620. It is Sleep Cycle Center.